Good morning, Crossroads. How's everyone doing today? I want to, first of all, honor you this morning on this beautiful Sunday, sunny morning in summer. You chose to come to church. And I honor you for that because that shows that that's a priority in your lives. And that's a really good thing. That this is a priority to, for you to come into God's house. Now, I know this is not a saying about anybody that's not here. They're maybe off the coast going to church somewhere else doing what they're doing. But for you, you're here. You're on the coast, you're here, and you're in God's house. And that's good. It's good. And I believe God's got something that he wants to share with us, that he's want to teach us this morning his word. We've been going through the book of Proverbs. Pastor Joel has started that and teaching us the wisdom that comes from Proverbs, the wisdom that there comes in our lives. We're going to look some more at that wisdom this morning and see some ways in which that connects with us and in us today. And because we all need wisdom as we're going forward. I want to ask you this question just before we start and look into it. I want you to look at what's happening in your life right now, and I want you to think about the things that you believe need to be different a year from now. For you personally, what needs to be different in you and around you and for you a year from now? You got it? You got something in your head for that? Does anybody not have anything? Okay, good. In order for you to get from here to there, you're going to need wisdom. You're going to need God's wisdom to come and work in your life to be able to help take you from where you are now to where you believe you need to be in your life a year from now. I need to say this too and say it carefully, and I'll explain a little bit more of it later on, but you will not get where you need to be a year from now in all likelihood simply by praying about it while doing nothing about it. Understand? There's the process that we need to make to go from here to there, in which God involves us in most cases in that process. God is capable, and at times we'll go, poof, there's your answer. But that's the exception rather than the rule. In most instances, God will work with us to get us from here to here. And as we talk about wisdom this morning, we're going to talk about how the wisdom plays that part for us in working through to get us from here to here in your life. Okay, everybody on board? I got two people on board. The rest of you, get back on the boat. Okay. All right, here we go. Let's pray together just before we go any further. Lord, thank you today that you are here with us. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your power in our lives. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. Father, I pray right now that you reveal to us more of you. You reveal to us the power and truth of your word. You reveal to us how you want to work in us and through us and help us along the way. And that, Lord, we will see and know that your hand is guiding and directing and that you are good in it all. Bless us this morning in this place, and we thank you for our time with you in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, bring it on up here, guys. We're in Psalm, I'm going to start over, pardon me, in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 19. Oh, they're picking on me again. What? Is it coming? Ah, there we go. That's the end. Can we go to the first one? That's the last one. Last time I preached, we didn't have it either, and I made you do sword drill, remember? We may have to do it again, except I got smart this time. They're all written down. Okay, so let me begin. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 19 says... there we go. Listen, my son, and be wise, and keep your heart on the right path. Listen and be wise, and keep your heart on the right path. There is a connection between wisdom and how wisdom will guide us, and that wisdom will give us and help us in our lives to stay on the right path and to know where you're going and what you're doing. I heard about our hiking club and one of their hikes out in Jack's back 40 not too long ago. Jack in his own backyard, and Joe went out there with the hiking club, and they went out there and Jack got lost in his own backyard. He got out there and he said to Joe, "Joe, I don't know where we are." And the rest of the group had disappeared and they were out wandering and didn't know where they were going to go. Finally, they were able to get back home, and fortunately, they didn't have to spend the night in the woods. Everything was good. They got back there. But he was got out, and somehow he got on the wrong path. And when you get out on the wrong path and along the way, you find that there's going to be problems for you whenever you're on the wrong path. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what you're going to do. You don't know how to get back necessarily. Because if you stay on the wrong path long enough, you will get so far away from the right path that you don't know how to get back to it. And that's the challenge for us. When we talk about God's wisdom working in our lives, we're talking about God coming and pouring not our wisdom, but his wisdom into us. So that when he speaks into us, we can stay on that path that he has for us. So that we don't get off track. Because God's wisdom comes from him into us. It's his Holy Spirit actually that is within us. Will speak to us and will give us his wisdom. And will guide us along the way to help us to know what to do and where to go. He loves to bring that to us. He loves to teach us these things, and he loves to make that work in us. There's also a connection here I want to talk about. We're going to talk about two connections there are today. We're going to talk about, first of all, the connection between wisdom and our heart, and then we're going to talk about the connection between wisdom and faith. We're going to talk about those two things. First one I want to talk about is connection between wisdom and our heart. Your heart, this is according to Easton's Bible Dictionary, says this: according to the Bible, the heart is the center not only of spiritual activity, but of all the operations of human life. Heart and soul are often used interchangeably. In other words, when the Bible is talking about your heart, it's not talking about the thump, 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 thump. It's not that in most cases it's talking about. It's talking about the all that going on inside of you, where the thinking and emotions and all that stuff is going on inside of you. It's not nearly as clean as the thump, 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 because there's too much else going on. Because your heart and your soul, if those two are referred to interchangeably in many cases, your heart and your soul are made up of your mind, your emotions, and your will. What is going on in your mind? What is going on with your emotions? What is going on with your will? That's all part of what the integral part of you is inside of you. That's what's going on. So all of that is going on, and you're making decisions based upon all of those things inside of you. Now, when I asked you, what do you want to do and what do you want to see change differently, particularly if it's something God believes that you believe that God wants you to change in your life in the next year, part of that was made up out of the decision of your mind, your emotions, and your will. You know what you want, you feel what you want, but hopefully there was also some input from the wisdom of God saying, you've got more. And I have more for you. There's direction for you. There's hope for you. There's strength for you. Those of you who have been through freedom sessions have found and realized that God's strength and power and love is greater than that thing which has trapped you. God is a God who loves you so much that he can help to break those chains that there are in your life. Those chains that are trapping your thought processes, trapping your emotions, that are trapping your ability to make decent decisions. God is greater than all of those things and is able to break those things for you, but allow you to progress in the way you need to progress. God is great for you. But he's also got for you wisdom to pour into you, and it's not earthly wisdom. It's not earthly wisdom. When I put the shirt on this morning, I thought, you like that? Yeah. Actually, this is the second shirt I put on. The first shirt I put on was blue, and it had orchids, and it had flowers, and it was like real Hawaiian. It was just like, but it reminded me when I put it on of a time a number of years ago that Sharon and I were in Hawaii. And we were walking down Waikiki and went into one of the stores. How many of you remember Magnum P.I.? Okay. How many of you have no idea who Magnum P.I. is? Turn on YouTube. Check it out. One of the greatest television shows of all time, okay? We walked into this store, and there was a rack of Hawaiian shirts in the store. And in front of this rack, there was another rack. that had a black Hawaiian type shirt with the white orchids all over it. And right beside that was a picture of Tom Selleck wearing the same shirt, sitting in his Ferrari, smiling at you. And being a fan of Magnum PI, I was drawn to the display. I went over there and I looked at it, and this little fellow came over to serve me, and he said, you know, try it on. So I tried it on. And I'm not, what I'm going to do now is not politically correct, but it's not meant to be offensive. Please don't take it that way. But I have to do this so you understand the impact of what he said. He looked at me, and at that point in time, I was heavy. I was starting to lose my hair. I had a full beard. He looked at me and goes, you look just like Tom Selleck. And I straightened up and I looked in the mirror and I go, no, I don't. But there was a part within me that said, he thinks I look like Tom Selleck. Now, this was his wisdom. Because I did buy the shirt, by the way. It was even though it was twice the price of all of the other shirts, this one, you look like just Tom Selleck. I also know that it didn't matter who he was talking to. I knew this. You could be 120 pounds or you could be 380 pounds. You could have been from any race, color, or creed. As soon as you put that shirt on, he was going to look at you and go, oh, you look just like Tom Selleck. And that was his way of making that sale. And yes, as I walked down the street, I realized he made a lot of sales. That's earthly wisdom. I'm not talking about that kind of wisdom. I'm talking about the wisdom that comes from God, that speaks to you, that guides you through. In fact, it was probably a real lack of godly wisdom because, as I said, that shirt was worth twice as much as the one beside it that was blue and had red flowers on it. But Tom Selleck wasn't wearing that one. He was wearing the one I had. There's a difference. What he did was he appealed to my heart. He appealed to my emotions, my pride, my will. And all of a sudden, even though I remember sitting there going, even though I know he's lying to me, it's Tom Selleck's shirt. How dumb is that? Right? Earthly wisdom. Godly wisdom would say, why are you going to spend twice as much on a shirt just because the sexiest man alive at that point in time was in the picture smiling at you beside it? I want to talk to you about how this all functions, that our heart has got this all this stuff going on inside of us. But wisdom is the ability to make right decisions in the moment, so that the future can unfold as it should. You got that? Wisdom is the ability to make the right decision in the moment so that the future can unfold as it should. You all know the in the moments that you have. That's when you get the phone call that causes you to panic. That's when you get the report that sends you a little bit wild. That's when you look at your computer screen and all of a sudden your bank account has $5,000 less than you thought it would have in it. That's when you get all those sort of things. That's the in-the-moment times. That's when you get the phone call from the police station about your child. That's when you get the difficulty, the call that the car has been smacked. That's when you get all these other things that are going on and you're hearing all this stuff. That's the in-the-moment times. And we all have those in-the-moment times all throughout our week. And wisdom is knowing what to do in the moment, so that the decision I make now will allow what happens in the future to unfold correctly. Now, when you think back, you can probably think of a number of times where you made the wrong decisions in the moment. And that's because in the moment, your heart was guiding you, not the wisdom of God. Here's what we need to understand. God's desire is for us not to seek his wisdom just for the big decisions. I know people will pray and ask us to pray and come for prayer because they're deciding, I'm going to buy a house. I want to know if it's the right thing to do. And so I really want God's wisdom to know how to do this. Yes, that's a good time to have God's wisdom. This person, you know, asked me to marry them, and I love them, but I just want to make sure this is the right thing to do at the right time, and I want God's wisdom in knowing how to do this. The big decisions we come to God easily and quickly with, but I want you to know that the wisdom of God is not just for the big things. It's for your daily life. It's for how you get through your day. Your child mouths you off. Now, none of our children would ever do that, would they? Your child mouths you off. How are you going to respond? From your emotions? From the wisdom of God. You have a coworker who just doesn't get it and is a thorn in your side, and you don't know what to do. And he does it again, and all of a sudden, you're ready to let him have it. You need wisdom. Think about all those things that you've said that you want to go like this to. Come back, come back, come back. Because once you say it, you can't get it back. But if you have wisdom, you'll know when to shut up. You'll know when to be quiet. You'll know what to say and what not to say. You'll know what to do, so it will take you beyond where you are right now. And tomorrow, you will not have to go back and try to patch up what you said and did today. I have had to do that so many times. I say or do something, and I'm lying in bed, and I'm going, oh, what an idiot. Oh. Okay, Lord, help me and give me the words to say tomorrow because I have to try and patch this up. So go back for the next day and now you have to try and patch it up. When you let God's wisdom rule in your heart, it really cuts down on your patching things up. It really will take you beyond that place because God will give you the words to speak and the actions to do that will keep things in the moment right so that in the future you'll be able to go along the way that you need to go. And it will guard your heart. Wisdom needs to rule your heart. God's wisdom needs to rule our hearts. If you want to get from where you believe that you need, where you are today, to where you need to believe, where you believe you need to be a year from now or 6 months from now or wherever from now, you need God's wisdom to show you how to make to react in the moment all along the way to get there. And part of that will just be self-discipline. Part of that will be wisdom. Part of that wisdom will be self-discipline. Part of it will be a choice of words and a choice of actions that he gives you to do. And it comes from God, not from you. And he speaks to you deep within you. And he says, come on, I got more for you. Oh, you got to believe that God's got more for you. You got to believe that God wants to take you and to pull you into this life that he has for you. He wants you to be able to experience what's there for you. And some of the burdens we carry are not only for ourselves, but they're for our family members and our friends. God's got wisdom for you in dealing with all of those things as well. And when we're dealing with family members and friends, that's just as likely to get our emotions and everything else involved in it. But if our emotions aren't guided by wisdom, we'll wind up making mistakes. Not every time, but enough times that we don't get to where we want to with it. We aren't able to experience what God has for us and wants for us in it. Our hearts need to be guided by wisdom, not fighting it. We need to know and hear when God speaks to us that his voice and his wisdom is there and we're saying, yes. Part of the problem is we know what God's word says. We know that it's true. We know that it's right. And we have the directions that are there for us. and we say, yeah, but this is my situation now, and it doesn't apply. Or we look at wisdom that comes to us from people that we trust, and we know, and we speak to some people, and they speak godly wisdom to us, specifically about a situation, and you know it's godly wisdom about the situation, and we still go, yeah, but. And sometimes that yeah, but is simply, God hasn't done anything about it yet. So I need to take control and do something about it. Obviously, God doesn't know what he's doing. Well, we don't actually say that, but our actions prove that, right? So God says, come on, let me get you on that track to take you where you need to go. Godly wisdom needs to rule in your life. Godly wisdom needs to rule how you treat the people around you, how you speak to the people around you, how you interact with the people around you. It needs to rule the actions that you take and the things that you do. It needs to rule how you act at work. Just a little hint here for our grads that are here. When you work, you don't work for your employer, you work for God. Okay? Whatever your job is, you're not working for your employer, you're working for God. So God deserves your best. Even if the job is one you don't like, give it your best and unto the Lord. And work with that and know that. That's important. Godly wisdom will guide you in all of those things. And that connection between your heart and between wisdom is that wisdom's got to rule over your heart. It's got to be the filter for you. Your heart may react in a certain way, but wisdom's got to be the filter that God says, no, you can't do that. You need to understand what's more important, and it guides you through that process to experience what God has for you. It's got to work for you. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 says this. It says, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom, though it costs you all you have. Get understanding. Wisdom is supreme. Wisdom is supreme. Wisdom is primary. Wisdom, the most important thing. When it comes to your walk with God, there are two things that are essential. One is that you have a walk with God. You've committed your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's number one. Number two is you have to let his wisdom work in your life for your life to become what it needs to be now that you've committed it to Jesus Christ. And you need the wisdom of God to do that. Wisdom is not something that's set aside. When we talked about spiritual gifts, we talked about the spiritual gift of wisdom. That's not just wisdom that some people will have, but I'm just a Christian. I don't have any wisdom. Yes, you do. You've got wisdom. In James, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God, and he will give it to you freely. It doesn't even cost you anything. Ask him, Lord, I need wisdom. I'm tired of being stupid. I need wisdom. And the Bible says, and God says, I will give it to you. I mean, isn't that cool? Yeah, and then you've got to believe that he actually will give it to you. If you don't believe he'll give it to you, it's not going to do you any good. You got to believe it. Lord, I need wisdom. Please give me wisdom. Lord, thank you for giving me wisdom. And start to function. Because as you start to function, learning to seek wisdom first before you react, you'll get stronger and wiser all along the way. And you will know what God has for you. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Every good path. Getting on the path that God has for you. Wisdom will guide you on that path. And it will give you the direction for your life. The path from here to there is built with God's wisdom working in your life to guide you in that process. And that's the way you're going to get there. is by the wisdom of God working within you. Now, I said there were two things we're going to talk about. The first one was the connection between wisdom and our heart. The second one is the connection between wisdom and faith. Because there is a strong connection also between wisdom and faith. Hebrews chapter 11, there we go. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Don't look at the bottom part yet. No, you just all read the bottom part, I know. But understand that faith is what makes us right with God. And faith is what gives us the relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what brings that into being. And the last part of that, he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. In other words, he's going to give to you things that you need in your life now that you're walking with him. He's going to give you what you need to get through, what you need to get from here to here as God directs in the plan of your life. Wisdom, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 to 7. Get wisdom, get understanding, and do not forget my words or swerve from them. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom, though it costs all you have, get understanding. The wisdom of God pours out into you. We need to get it into us. Faith and wisdom now work together. Faith is this. Go next slide, please. Faith is this. Faith is believing that God will do his part. Wisdom is what God gives us so we can do our part. You got that? That makes it real simple. That takes all the other theological stuff and boils it right down. Doesn't matter what theologian, what person, anybody else said anything about it. This is the bare bones, bottom line of it all. Faith is what we put in God so that he will do his part. Wisdom is what God gives us so we can do our part. Think about it. Think about the grace and the glory of God that takes us now. He's here to give us and to guide us in what we are to do. He's here to provide for us the things that he wants to do to work through us, to allow us to become what he needs. There's an example in the book of Ecclesiastes. I just want to read Ecclesiastes 10:10. I don't know if either it goes. If the axe is dull, there's a few, anyway, never mind. If the axe is dull and someone does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. Okay, Keith, you're chopping wood with a dull axe. What happens? Not much. It bounces. In fact, I've heard it said that a dull axe is probably more dangerous than a sharp one. Is that correct? Okay, a dull axe is actually more dangerous than a sharp one, because if you're chopping wood, a dull axe won't bite into the wood. It'll bounce off and bite into your leg. And if you're throwing a 6 or 8 pound axe with all your strength, that will leave a mark. So it's saying here, if you're out there, not only that, it takes more strength. Man, so you're sitting there, you're whacking away. What's going on? I don't understand. What's going on? I don't understand. What's going on? Someone who knows something about it comes along and says, sharpen the thing. Okay? Sharpen this axe, and when you sharpen it, it's going to make a difference for you. This is what God does for us. How many of you have been beaten on the same thing in your life again and again and again, trying to, it's not working. I'm getting anywhere. It's not working. God's going to come along. He's going to say to you, and he has for you, I'll show you how to sharpen your axe. Anybody need their axe sharpened? This is what God has for you. He's able to speak to you ways that will take what you are doing and make it more effective. He has ways that will speak to you and will guide you so that you can do what you are doing, so that, quite frankly, you don't have to work as hard often to get done what needs to be done. We're exhausting ourselves doing a lot of things in our lives that we've not sought God's wisdom for, and we're being exhausted by it. And God's sitting there saying, why don't you let me speak some truth and help into you? Because when I do, I can give you the ability to do what you are doing with wisdom, my wisdom. And when my wisdom comes to reality in your life, you're going to find that your axe is sharpened and you're able to do this with a whole lot more stress and strain than you thought before. Because here's how God works the majority of the time. God works with us to get to where we want to go. in many cases God gives to us in Scripture. He says, if, then I. If, then I. And he gives us instructions as to what to do along the way. In the book of 2 Kings, there was a man by the name of Naaman. Naaman was a man who had leprosy. He was a ruler. He had leprosy. And so he went to see Elisha, who was the prophet of God. And he brought all these gifts and all these sort of things, and he went to Elisha, and he went there as a very proud and dignified ruler before Elisha and says, I want to be healed. I want to be healed of leprosy. Well, Elisha didn't even come out himself. He sent his servant. The servant came out and said, oh, yeah, hi. Go bathe in the Jordan 7 times. Okay, thanks. See you later. And Naaman got ticked off. He said, what is this all about? I mean, here I am. I come to see this prophet Elisha. He sends out his servant. And now all he tells me to do is to go and bathe in the Jordan 7 times. That's a dirty, stinking river. I don't want to go do that. Why would I want to do that? Go and bathe 7 times? The Naaman's servant girl said, if he told you to do something great and tremendous, would you not have done it? Naaman said, yes. Then she said, go jump in the river. Go bathe in the river 7 times. And he did, and he was healed. God said, if for you to get to where you want to go, there are some things you may do along the way. Now, some of you are New Testament only folks here. I understand that. New Testament. There is a blind man. It's found in John chapter 9. There was a blind man that was there. And Jesus' disciples said to him, Master, is it his fault or his parents' fault that he's blind? And Jesus said, neither. So then Jesus did some very strange things. He spat on the ground, made some mud, and put it on the guy's eyes. It was a good thing he was blind and didn't see what Jesus did. And then Jesus said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So here he is, mud in his eyes. Here's mud in your eye. Here's mud. And he goes to bathe in the pool of Siloam. He was not healed until he bathed in the pool of Siloam. Going from here to here required the faith, but also the action to get here. God speaks into your life. He speaks truth into your life. He's got wisdom for you to be able to know how to get from there to there. He's got wisdom for you to know how to get the breakthrough in your life, for it to be able to come. As I said, I know a number of you have been through and are going through the Freedom Sessions and the things that are involved with that. The key to it all, in all of it, is God wants you involved, and I know that's part of what you've been learning at Freedom Sessions. There's an involvement that you have to have that works through where you are at to be able to get to where God's going to bring that fullness in you. God is perfectly capable, and on occasions he will go, done. He will do that and has done that. But the normal process is, he says, I want you involved. Because if you get involved, you are learning something more about me, about wisdom, about trust, about faith, about strength, about all the things you need to go through, and you are able then to help other people along that way. And that's the process that works in. So faith and wisdom go hand in hand. Faith, we believe that God will do what he says he will do. Wisdom then is what God gives us to know that what we need to do to get to that point as well. And he speaks those truths into us to get us working in what God has for our lives, where he wants to take us, where he wants to go, and what he wants to do. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, and I referred to this earlier. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave on the ocean, a wave on the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Do you need wisdom in your life? We all need it more. We all need it more. Some of us have been just going to God for the wisdom we need for the big things. Some of us don't even ask God for wisdom on a regular basis. That's often an area where we may not even be praying about when we do our, even if you do regular devotions and prayers in the morning. We're not asking, Lord, give me wisdom today to live as the man or woman that God, that you created for me. Give me wisdom today to know what to do at work. Give me wisdom today to handle my children. Give me wisdom today to impact the people around me. Give me your wisdom to know what to do. And we need to do that because God's wisdom comes and it works within our heart, within our soul, that mind and emotions and will. It works together with that to help us make sure that we're making decisions and doing things that are right, so that as we make the decisions today and we act appropriately today in the situations that we're in, it's bringing about the result down the road that we know is the right and proper result in the relationship, in the walk with God, in the plan and purpose that God has for our lives. That's what God has for us. And you don't need earthly wisdom. You need godly wisdom. You need him to speak truth to you that may be different from anything you're hearing from people. Because there's a lot of foolishness out there right now in people. But God wants to bring truth to you. Truth from his word. Truth from his spirit speaking to you. Truth from other godly people who speak truth into you. And allow that to come and work in your life. Finally, have you made it a priority to seek God's wisdom daily? Have you asked God what might be keeping you from acting in his wisdom? Or is there part of me that doesn't want to do what you tell me to do and what I know is right? When you are praying and asking God for something, have you asked him for wisdom to know what you need to do as well? So many times we pray for the solution, not the process. Right? We pray about the solution, but not about the process. And God is often as interested in taking us through the process as he is in providing the solution for us. We've got to get away from that now. God, we've got to get to the point where we are going, Lord, take me there and let me know what it needs to be along the way. And then we have to obey in that process for him. As God speaks to you and works in you, he's pouring into you life and love and purpose and joy. He has wisdom and direction for you. He's got things in your life and for your life a year from now that you don't even dreamed about at this point. But he wants you to go through with wisdom to get to where he has for you so that you can experience all the goodness of God. All the goodness of God. We're going to close in prayer here in just a moment, but we will have communion and the prayer teams will be here at the front. If you'd like prayer, if you'd like prayer for wisdom, if you'd like prayer for anything at all, please come and take advantage of this opportunity for others to pray for you and with you, that God will pour into your life the things of wisdom and goodness for you. As you partake of communion this morning, there may be something specific that you're seeking God for, not related to wisdom at all, but you can pray believing that God's body and blood has bought the answer for you in what you're seeking. But also if you're seeking wisdom, Lord, according to James, he's told me that if I seek wisdom, you will give it to me. We have a covenant, Lord God, that says you will provide for us. And so, Lord, I partake of that covenant now with this bread and with this juice. And I partake, and Lord, I accept and receive the wisdom that you have for me. Pour it into my life and pour it into my soul. I invite you to do those things this morning. And let God speak to you and strengthen you in all that he has. Would you stand with me, please? Will the communion and prayer teams come? Just stretch your hands out, if you will, this morning. Those of you who are comfortable with it, to the Lord. Lord, I thank you today. that you come and you speak to us and you speak life to us. And it is life with purpose, with peace, with strength, with joy. The Lord, you have answers for our prayers. You have answers for those things which have bound us. You've got strength for us where we are weak. And Lord, you've got wisdom for all of those areas that we need so very, very much. I pray, Lord God, that you will speak to us this morning, that your wisdom will be poured out upon us, that there will be an anointing of wisdom that will flow down upon this congregation, upon the people that are here. That, Lord, that anointing power of Christ will come upon us, and we will seek and know and function in your wisdom every day. And that, Lord, at work, at home, at play, with our friends, with our family, your wisdom will flow through us in what we say and do. That, Lord, there will be an end to those things that we need to go back and try and correct because of what we've said and done before. The Lord, we will not have to face those things anymore because, Lord, your wisdom guides us in all things. I pray that anointing be upon us, that you bless us and strengthen us as we serve you and grow in you and allow ourselves to move towards what you have for us in every way. We thank you for it, Lord Jesus, now in your name. Amen. Amen.